Well, turn over in your Bible this morning, if you will, to Luke chapter 7. Luke chapter 7. We're going to focus in on verses 36 through 50 and relook at a familiar story. You know, as we've gone through this sermon series together and as I've prepared for the sermons, the Lord has brought me back to familiar passages that really emphasize the gospel, the heart of people who are broken, you know, and God just continually brings me back to these. And I preached from this text before, but I want to share, you know, some things this morning that the Lord showed me this week. And as we've talked a lot about the condition of our country, we understand, and we've talked a lot about this world being broken. And we've said it a million times, broken lives and broken relationships, broken systems, and this brokenness is seen in, it's evidenced all around us. It's in fact that we see suffering and violence and poverty and pain and death. We see it, the brokenness all around us, and brokenness often leads us to search for a way to make things right. And that's where a lot of people are today. And you know, I think for a while for me, sometimes we wonder if people want to hear our message. But I think there's a lot of people that are really waiting for some good news. We just have to be willing to share that with them. And we encounter people quite often in our lives that are living in brokenness. We all know people. Maybe today you're living in brokenness yourself, but you know, we encounter people every day. They're looking for a way to make things right. And the question is how will we respond to them? Because they need hope. They need good news. And this story this morning, one that we're all familiar with, is one that we could share with other people who are in brokenness. You know, that's a great thing about, especially in the Gospels, is Jesus tells stories, or there's stories that have to do with him that we could easily share with other people to show them that they can get out of this brokenness. And this morning's story is one that we could easily share with others because it is full of hope. It's a story that's full of good news. And so let's read it together, okay? And then we'll talk about it, okay? Luke chapter 7. Verses 36 through 50. Then one of the Pharisees invited him to eat with him. He entered the Pharisee's house and reclined at the table. And a woman in the town who was a sinner found out that Jesus was reclining at the table in the Pharisee's house. She brought an alabaster jar of fragrant oil and stood behind him at his feet weeping and began to wash his feet with her tears. She wiped his feet with her hair on her head, kissing them and anointing them with fragrant oil. And when the Pharisee who had invited him saw this, he said to himself, "This man, if he were a prophet, would know who and what kind of woman this is who is touching him. She is a sinner." And Jesus replied to him, "Simon, I have something to say to you." "Teacher," he said, "say it." A creditor had two debtors. One owed 500 denarii and the other 50. And since they could not pay it back, he graciously forgave them both. "So which of them will love him more?" Simon answered, "I suppose the one he forgave more." "You have judged correctly," he told him. Turning to the woman, he said to Simon, "Do you see this woman? I entered your house and you gave me no water for my feet. But she, with her tears, has washed my feet and wiped them with her hair. You gave me no kiss, but she hasn't stopped kissing my feet since I came in. You didn't anoint my head with olive oil, but she has anointed my feet with fragrant oil. Therefore, I tell you, her many sins have been forgiven. That's why she loves so much. But the one who has forgiven little loves little." Then he said to her, "Your sins are forgiven." And those who were at the table with them began to say among themselves, "Who is this man who even forgives sins?" And he said to the woman, "Your faith has saved you. Go in peace." This is a great story. And it really shows you the heart of Jesus toward people who are living in brokenness. And we can let this story be an example to us in how we deal with people. And we, like I said before, we can share this story. We can easily share this story with others who need to hear a message of hope and good news. So let's break it down real quick. The first thing I want you to understand, I apologize, I don't have an outline for you today on PowerPoint. I just didn't have time to do it. But I'll repeat the point, so I know a lot of you are note takers and say, you really go through those quickly. So I'm going to repeat them a couple of times so you can get that down, all right? So number one, the thing that we need to understand from our story today is that sinners won't be rejected by Jesus if they come to him humbly. Sinners won't be rejected by Jesus if they come to him humbly. So the story is Jesus had been invited by a Pharisee. This Pharisee's name was Simon, to have dinner. And dinner guests in this time, you probably know, would lie on couches with their heads near the table. They would prop themselves up on one elbow and they would stretch their feet out behind them. So they're all kind of leaning in toward the table and their feet are towards the outside. And generally, guests would remove their sandals and their feet as they came into a house, and one of the servants would wash their feet before they ate. And so Jesus and the other guests are here eating, and all of a sudden, a woman comes in to the house, to the room. And Luke said that she had learned that Jesus was there. And, you know, it wasn't uncommon in this time for people to come in and sit around the edges and kind of watch what was going on in the room there. They weren't necessarily invited guests, but they wanted to hear what was going on. You know, they didn't have social media, they didn't get all the news, so they had to watch and observe. And so it wasn't uncommon for people to come in and sit around the edges and watch and listen to the conversations. But this woman was different here. It said she was a sinner. Probably she had at one time been a prostitute. And we know that in this time, prostitutes were considered unclean, very sinful people. And it was a sin. I'm not going to gloss over that. It was a sinful thing. And so she had a past. She was involved in these types of activities. And as a result, they were often rejected among society. And so for her to come into this room and with this kind of lifestyle and then to be among men, it took a tremendous amount of courage for her to enter this house at that time. And as she came in, we know the story, she'd brought an alabaster jar of perfume with her. And if you don't know, alabaster jars contained very beautiful carvings. They were expensive. They were very beautiful. And this jar contained a very expensive perfume. It would have been very valuable, a prized possession for this woman. So even though she wasn't invited, she entered this house. And she had intended on anointing Jesus' feet, but the story says that she began to weep instead. And her tears fell on the feet of Jesus. And in fact, her tears were so heavy that she literally had to wipe them with her hair. And she kissed his feet and she poured perfume on them. And so as we think about this story, I know for me, it leads to a very important question. Why did she do this? First of all, why was she crying so deeply? Why was she weeping? Why was she so broken? What in the world was going on that would cause her to want to literally kiss the feet of someone? I mean, that's not just the most pleasant thing in the world to think about. But yet, that's what she did. Why did she intend on anointing Jesus' feet with the perfume? I think the story tells us she understood that Jesus was very special. She'd probably heard stories. She maybe had seen him do miracles. She had heard him speak, perhaps. She'd seen him before, heard him, all these things. And the fact that she washed his feet was a very deep sign of humility. I mean, that was the job of a slave. That was the job of a servant. So this woman had a past, and perhaps she'd been despised and rejected because of her lifestyle. But what do we notice about Jesus? Man, he always throws a curve in here. He doesn't play by the normal rules of society, because he understood that he had a purpose to seek and save those who are lost and broken. And so Jesus, like the other guys, doesn't reject her. And guys, as we think about this story, we really see the heart of Jesus here. Because people who have a past, people who are sinners, will never be rejected by Jesus if they come to him humbly. That's the key, though. People have to come humbly. They have to know that they need Jesus and understand that they do have sin in their life. And this woman did realize that. The realization is shown in her actions here. But the thing that we need to convey to people in our society and the people that we're around is that when you do have a past, no matter what it is, even though you are a sinful person, if you come to Jesus humbly, you will not be rejected. And this woman came humbly. And so maybe that's you today. Maybe it's somebody that you know really well. Maybe they're right in the midst of their problem. Guys, the people that we see around us, you know, as Abby was sharing last week, people need good news. They're broken. That's the reason they need Jesus. Yeah, I'm reminded of that song by Keith Green I shared a couple of weeks ago, Sleep in the Light. He's talking about, don't you see all the people sinking down? Don't you care? Don't you care? Are you going to let them drown? We see people all around us. It's like Jesus, when he saw the crowds, the Bible says he had compassion on them because they were harassed and helpless like sheep without a shepherd. Sheep are pretty dumb animals. They need a shepherd to guide them. And as Jesus looked out, he wasn't calling the people dumb. He was realizing these people are in desperate need of someone to lead them because they're harassed by life and they're helpless to do anything about it. They're broken and they need me. Perhaps you know someone today, the Lord's bringing them to your mind right now, that is broken, and they need hope, they need forgiveness, they need good news, they need Jesus. He will love them, he will never reject them, and we have to convey that message to those who are broken. You can share this story. I mean, we all know this story pretty well. I mean, you guys, listen, I'm kind of preaching to the choir today. We've read this story a million times. We've learned it in Sunday school. We've read it personally as we've gone and read the Bible together. We've talked about it in conversations with each other. We know this story front and back. I'm not telling you anything you don't know today. And so with that in mind, you could easily share this story with anybody who is living in brokenness right now. And say, let me let you know on the heart of Jesus, you know, I don't know what you think about Jesus, but there's a story in the Bible where this woman came in and she had a past and she came in and she did all this stuff and Jesus didn't reject her like everybody else did and said, your sins are forgiven. That's the kind of Jesus that we serve. That's the kind of Jesus that I'm talking about, not this other guy that you heard about on the news or whatever, or somebody that didn't know what they were talking about. This is the real Jesus. And we could share that story with them. And that's the message that we have to convey to others who are broken, is that Jesus will forgive if we come humbly. Another message that we need to convey, number two, is that sinners will be completely healed and forgiven by Jesus. Sinners will be completely healed and forgiven by Jesus. Notice the contrasting behavior here between Simon and Jesus. Two stark behaviors, contrasting behaviors. Simon only saw the woman for what she was, a sinner. And yeah, she was a sinner. I mean, Simon was too. He wasn't willing to admit that. But that's all he saw her for, as a sinner. He wanted Jesus to send her away. He had no desire for her to help her out of her situation. He didn't have any compassion for her. Jesus, on the other hand, offered forgiveness. And I love the illustration here. I mean, Jesus seemed to always know exactly what to say. I need to be so in tune with the Holy Spirit that I'm that way too, you know, but he knew exactly what to say. I love the illustration that he uses here to explain to Simon about the power of forgiveness. In the same way that the man forgave those who owed him money, Jesus forgave the woman of her sins. And that's the message that we have to convey to those who are in sinful situations. We have to tell them about the forgiveness that Jesus offers on the cross. That's the gospel, right? And there are some people that perhaps feel like their sin is so great that they possibly can't forgive. And I've met people like that. You probably have too. Maybe that's you today. You say, well, Pastor, you don't know what I'm involved in right now. No, I may not, because I don't read minds, and I can't see into the side of you. But God knows, and I'm just here to tell you there's no sin too big that God can't forgive in the power of Jesus Christ. I don't care what it is. I don't care what you're involved in. I don't care what it is that is a stronghold in your life. God can and will forgive that if you come to Him humbly and lay it at His feet. And that's the message we have to convey. Now listen, I realize sometimes that people who are in sinful situations, they don't think there's anything wrong with them. It's kind of difficult to reach them with the gospel because they don't think they have a problem. I'm talking about people that are genuinely, deeply broken and they realize there's something wrong in me and I can't seem to get out of it. These are the people that sometimes God brings to our mind and we have to convey to them that they will be completely healed and forgiven by Jesus. And that's what He offered to the woman. Completely healed her, completely forgave her. He offered salvation. That's why He came from heaven, to seek and save the lost. You know, Jesus understands our weaknesses and our sin. Yeah, He didn't sin. He never did. He never deviated from God's design even once. I was telling the kids, you know, as we were talking with them at VBS this past week, talking about Jesus never sinning, I said, Jesus, when he was a kid and his mom said, go clean his room, he didn't give her lip. He just went and did it. Didn't argue, didn't complain, didn't throw a fit, throw a tantrum, didn't, you know, flop around. He just did it. He obeyed. He was a good kid, okay? He was perfect in every way. He never deviated from God's design. He never sinned. And the Bible says in Hebrews 4:15, talking about Jesus' understanding, He said, for we do not have a high priest who is unable to sympathize with our weaknesses, but one who has been tested in every way as we are, yet without sin. He knows what it's like. He knows what life is like. He knows the difficulties that we face because He faced them as well. Jesus lived in human flesh for 33 years, so He understands what people are going through. He understands our failings. And you might be thinking, well, you don't know how far I've fallen. You don't know what I've done, as I said before, but even though you've strayed far away from God, I'm reminded of what Jeremiah 3:22 says. Jot that down. Go look it up later. But basically it says, come back to me, you unfaithful children, and I will forgive you for being unfaithful. That tells us right there that our God is a God of second chances. Let me read that again. Come back to me, you unfaithful children. I will forgive you for being unfaithful. God says it right there. I will forgive you if you just come back to me. Isn't that the story of the lost son, the prodigal son that we talked about a few weeks ago? The son was forgiven. God will forgive us. The third thing I want you to understand is from the perspective of the person that's been lost, or the person that was lost and sinful. Number three, sinners value the forgiveness and love of Jesus. They get it. They understand. They value the forgiveness and love of Jesus. Simon the Pharisee committed several errors that he was unwilling to admit, or maybe he was just so blinded by what he thought was righteous that he didn't even see them. Number one, what did he do? He neglected to wash Jesus' feet. Okay, that was a big social no-no. This was done for guests because sandaled feet were dirty. And you didn't want that nasty feet in your house, okay? So he didn't wash Jesus' feet. Number two, he neglected to give Jesus a kiss of greeting. I know that we kind of say, well, I don't know that I'd want that either. But in that day, it was customary. You did that kind of stuff. When we were in Romania, those of you that were there, the Pastor Cornell would come up and give you a kiss on the cheek. You may say, well, that kind of freaked me out. That's just their culture. And I already knew that up front, and I was expecting it, and it happened, and I was okay with it. I wouldn't do that, but it just happens. But in Jesus' day, that was customary. Men would kiss each other on the cheek. There was nothing, it wasn't anything sexual or anything like that. It was just a kiss of greeting. So he didn't do that. Jesus pointed it out. And then he neglected to anoint Jesus' head with oil. So he displayed an unloving, uncaring spirit. But the woman, on the other hand, what did she do? She offered tears. She offered expensive perfume, kisses on Jesus' feet, because she was grateful. Grateful for her forgiveness. And her proof was in her actions. She knew that her sins were many. And this caused her to overflow love to Jesus. She valued her forgiveness. And see, overflowing love is the natural response to forgiveness. And this happens whenever we begin to truly realize the depth of our sin and what had to happen in order for our sins to be forgiven. I'm reminded of Ephesians 2:8-9, a great verse. Kids, this is the couple of verses right before the verse that was our main verse for VBS, okay? For by grace are you saved through faith, and this is not from yourselves. It is God's gift, not from works, so that no one can boast. And like so many people who had already been healed and forgiven, this woman had a new life and a new reason for living. No wonder she wept for joy. No wonder. Jesus has rescued all of us. As we think about that, do we truly appreciate and value God's mercy? Because we receive it every day. We get eternal life when we deserve a lot worse. Do we appreciate and value what God has done for us? Are we grateful for His forgiveness? You know, that's the reason we take time every once in a while to have communion together, the Lord's Supper. It's to reflect upon what Jesus has done for us, dying. And the reason we have to remember is because we're prone to forget. So we need a reminder. This woman's life serves as a reminder to us. We're no different from her. Yeah, some of us came to know Jesus as kids, and we didn't have this big past that we lived before we came to know Christ, but we were still a sinner in need of forgiveness. Our sin is no different from hers. So Simon saw the sin, and Jesus saw the person. He saw the sinner who needed to be forgiven. Simon only saw her offenses, and Jesus saw this woman and her brokenness. And we're all sinners. And the fact that fact alone should help us realize that we're not better than anybody else. The fact that Jesus died for sinners should help us realize that we are loved beyond measure. So I say this again, who in your life can you share this story with? Who is God bringing to your mind right now that you could share this story of hope? Are you sharing with others the hope that lives within you? Because people are living in brokenness and life is messy. And listen, I understand sometimes when you offer to help somebody or to help lift them out of the brokenness, you look at one thing and you tear back one layer, and then there's like 10 other layers that have to be dealt with. I understand that. Kingdom work is hard. Ministry is tough. And it will wear you out physically and emotionally and spiritually. It's hard. But yet that's what we've been called to do. Amen? So who are the people that you could share this story with? People who are living in brokenness. They need hope. They need good news. Maybe this morning you need hope. Maybe this morning you need good news. That's where it starts there. You can't possibly help somebody else if you yourself need to get right with God. And as I've shared multiple times, and I'm going to share it one more time, God originally designed a world where everything and everyone worked together perfectly. But something happens many times, or not something, it happens that we decide to go our own way. And life doesn't work when we decide to go our own way. That's called sin. When we ignore God's design, that's called sin. And sin leads to brokenness. And the brokenness is evidenced all around us, right? We see it all around. And it could be even something internal in your life, like an addiction or something that you deal with, a bad relationship or something like that, a failure on your part. You're seeing that brokenness. And brokenness often leads people to try to find a way out. And many times people look in the wrong places to get out of the brokenness, and they find themselves right back there. They might find temporary relief, but they find themselves right back there. And so at that point, we need a remedy. And that remedy is the gospel. Amen? The good news. Jesus came down from heaven. He lived a sinless life. He died on the cross. And he rose again, showing that he was God's chosen one to forgive sin. He walked on the earth for 40 days after. He ascended back to heaven. And one day he will return for his bride. But just knowing about that is not enough. We can have knowledge, but it doesn't do anything about our heart. We have to do something. We have to repent. It's amazing how many of the kids at VBS knew what repent meant. I was so surprised. Smart kids. But it means going one way and deciding to go the other way. That's what repentance is. We have to repent, and we also have to believe. What do we have to believe? We have to believe in what Jesus did for us on the cross. And when we accept what Jesus has done for us on the cross by admitting that we're sinners, believing that God died, that Jesus died for our sins, and confessing our faith in Jesus Christ, then and only then can we begin to recover and pursue God's design once again and live for Him. Doesn't mean we're going to be perfect, doesn't mean we're going to get it right all the time. But yet we belong to God, and our priorities change, our heart changes, we become a new creation. The old way of life has been cast off, and we're somebody different now. But we have to accept the gospel. That's a message for you today if you need Jesus. And that's a story, another story that you can share with others. It's the three circles that we've talked about. But where are you at today in your life? You know, one of the greatest verses in the Bible is Romans 10:13. Whoever calls upon the name of the Lord will be saved. Man, that's a promise. If that's all you can share with somebody, just share that. So this morning, twofold. Who can you share this story with? Or do you need this story in your life today? Stephen's going to come lead us in a song of commitment, and it's an opportunity for you to do what God has called you to do today, whatever that might be, whether it's to come to know Jesus for the very first time, or whether it's to commit yourself to tell this story or your personal story with somebody that needs to hear. Because as we've been learning, the gospel is indispensable. That means it is absolutely necessary. It's something that we cannot do without. And that's what we've been called to do, to dispense the gospel. To proclaim, as Paul said, be reconciled unto God. That's our job. It's God's job to save people. It's our job to proclaim the message. And so who is God wanting you to proclaim this message to today? Father, we thank you today for this story, a familiar story, one that we've looked at before. But Lord, it serves as a reminder of how you view people who come to you humbly. And then in return, how we respond to you when we know that we've been forgiven. Father, let us share this story with somebody this week. Or Father, maybe even greater, Lord, I pray that if there's one here today that needs to embrace this story, needs to embrace you as Lord and Savior, that they would do that right now. Father, we ask you to have your way in us. We love you and we praise you. And we ask all this in the powerful name of Jesus, and we pray together. Amen.